Well, good morning. Today we're going to be looking back, but we're not going to be looking back at 2020. How many of you guys are happy that 2020 is going to leave us behind? 2020 has been one of the worst years in my entire life. I'll be 46 Wednesday, I believe, something like that. And this probably has been the worst year of my life. Whether it be global, personal, whether it be whatever it may be, 2020 needs to go away. In Philippians, Paul writes about, he says, "Don't look back. Brother, I do not consider that I have made it on my own, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward what lies ahead, I press on towards the goal for the upward call of God in Jesus Christ." God's words to us is, don't look back. Like the Apostle Paul, we must never forget what lies behind and strain forward to what lies ahead. It's natural for us to look back as a human race. We all have the tendency to look back. Life magazine has years and pictures. Sports Illustrated has years of sports. We have history books. We have yearbooks, photo albums. Now we have this thing called social media, where even our Facebook tells us 6 years ago this memory. Everything is memorable. All these platforms teach us to look back. And I get it. Yes, there's a great value of looking back. We look back to learn. We look back to affirm the places and the faces and the circumstances that we have came from. We also look back to see where God was present in our life. So yes, there indeed is a time to look back. But only if that looking back is carried with a positive purpose. And at the same time in this passage, Paul tells us to forget what lies behind. But Paul doesn't look back in a way that will keep us from going forward. We don't want to look back in a way that it makes us prisoners of our past. Because looking back in the wrong way enslaves us or enslaves others to the past mistakes and our sins. Looking back is the wrong way, does not allow us healing of the old hurt and the past mistakes and sins of our lives and the painful memories. Even looking back sometimes at our accomplishments and successes can keep us from discovering what lies ahead. God has a plan for us. So the advice for all of us today is, don't look back. Yesterday, as I was going through this message, a friend of mine texted me just out of the blue, an inspirational message. And the guy was very passionate about how he spoke. Being passionate is good for our soul. And I remember him saying, don't give up. Don't look back. Your life is worth it. And I took this and I thought about the Apostle Paul. The Apostle Paul was a messed up guy. And if he looked back to his past, he would never accomplish what God wanted him to accomplish. Think about Paul's earlier years. Before his conversion, Paul was named Saul. He was the number one enemy of the church. He was responsible for gruesome persecutions and even the murdered many people of faith. When Stephen, the great witness for Christ, was stoned to death, Luke tells us that Saul was consenting his death. But here's the good news. Paul was forgiven. Through the grace of God, Paul was forgiven. Maybe we need to look back at this year for a moment and ask ourselves, where do we need a little forgiveness? Or maybe where do we need a little grace in this past year? Paul was able to forget this awful past because God had forgotten and forgiven Paul's past. In the book of Hebrews, we are reminded, remember our sins and misdeeds no more. We don't have to continually feel guilty and second-rated because we did something this last year or even yesterday. God, our Lord and Savior, has forgiven us. And all we have to do is accept His forgiveness and say, thank you, Lord. It's that simple. Just don't look back at our past mistakes. Don't look back at the sins of other people. Just as God forgiven us, we need to learn how to forgive others. And I get it. This year has been something different than you and I have ever experienced. There's been a lot of hatred in this world. Many relationships have struggled. The worldview of Christ has been pushed to the side. There has been so much failure in our political spectrum. And this is something for all of us to think about this morning. At our very best, we're still all sinners. We've all made mistakes. We've all hurt one another. But God helped us forget what's behind us. So this year, we need to learn how to put it behind us. It's time for us as a people to rise up. It's time for us to be global, to be local, to be the light in our own homes, in our neighborhoods. It's time for us to show this world that the God of the universe is still in control. It's funny, because in this last past year, the world was brought to its knees. He just didn't do it to one particular faith. He didn't just do it to one particular people. He brought the world to their knees. And I'm willing to bet that it was part of God's plan. And it's not because He wanted to punish us as a people. But out of love for our salvation, He wants all of us to be present in heaven with Him. I honestly don't believe He wants anybody left behind. That's why He stopped this country. That's why He stopped this world. He's the one that really has the model that no one is left behind. Has been an amusing year. Now we get to welcome 2021 here in a few days. This morning, I have a new word for 2021. And the word is commissioned. If you need to hear that again, the word is commission. The word commission means to be set out to fulfill a particular purpose. Let that settle in your head. The early church was a prime example of being set out. In the early book of Acts, we're taught that the disciples went out and built every day and added to their numbers. Through the teaching of the gospel, they taught the word of God. They repented and were baptized. They fellowshiped with one another. They shared their possessions and lived in community. They taught the hope of Jesus. Our time is now. Our time is now to set this place on fire. This place on fire for Jesus. Our time is to bring heaven here on earth. To bring every non-believer to know Jesus Christ and be saved. This is why the God of the universe slowed the human race. So many times in the Bible, God has slowed down certain people through certain different circumstances. And that was to show us, to wake us up, to slow us down, to do a simple request that he has asked us from day one. And the real is, you might ask yourself, are you really scared to see what plan God has for your life? And we can't look back at this messy year. And it's caused a bunch of chaos in our global community, in our personal lives. There are so many statistics that show that relationships have faltered, suicides on the high. People are turning to other alternatives. And we are the people that should be praying, showing them God's way to the kingdom. We are the people that we need to show that God is still in control. And whether you believe God is real or not, this last past year, something's got our attention. In the Bible, there are many stories where people are being commissioned and being sent out. I'm going to read a passage out of Deuteronomy 31. Deuteronomy 31, 1 through 6. So Moses wrote down the law. Oops, excuse me, wrong passage. Then Moses went out and spoke the words to the Israel. And now, 120 years old, and I am no longer able to lead you. The Lord has said to me, you shall not cross the Jordan. The Lord your God himself will cross over ahead of you. He will destroy these nations before you, and you will take possession of their land. Joshua also will cross over ahead of you, as the Lord said, and the Lord will do them what he did to Sihon and Og, the king of the Amorites, who he destroyed along with their land. The Lord will deliver them to you, and you must do to all them that have commanded you. Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or terrified because of them. For the Lord your God goes with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. Here in this particular passage, we find Moses being commissioned to be the next leader and lead the people. Joshua can't look back to what has happened in the past, in their past journey. He was being called by God to take possession of the land. And God's plan for Joshua at that time, and God's plan for us, he says he will never leave us. This text clearly says that God uses humans. That means you and I, and we're no different from Joshua, to carry out his will here on earth. God delivers this promise that he will be with you and I. He will never fail us nor abandon us. And the funny thing about this is God has already equipped us to go forward in confidence to share the good news about Jesus Christ. Imagine being in a relationship. And being in a relationship, it's a partnership. It takes work. It takes us to be present and available to that other person. God wants us to be present and available just as our earthly relationships demand. And in this passage, Moses knew his time on earth was limited. God told him to commission Joshua. And that shows that our time here on earth is a very short period of time. We want to teach our children. We want to teach our family. We want to show others how to be the light of Jesus. In 2021, we have an opportunity. And here in a few days, the champagne will pop. The fireworks will go up. But for me, my hands will raise, showing this world that we're in the vital need of revival, that God is in control. And it starts with us. It starts with every single person that's in this room on the live stream. We get an opportunity here to do 2021 right. God slowed us down as a people to encourage us to build us. God's plan is to tell the whole world, to tell our neighbors, "2021 should be the year that we bring everybody on their knees and bring them and draw them closer to Christ." We are the church. And God isn't concerned where we've been. He isn't concerned about what we used to do or what we've done. He's concerned with what we're doing right now and what we're going to do for him tomorrow. In the passage in Philippians, Paul painted a picture of a runner straining and pushing to finish a race. Paul says, "Press on towards the goal, for the prize of the upward call of God is Christ Jesus." Paul has a goal, and that's to become more like Christ every single day. And how do you do that? Through your actions. There needs to be hope for all of us here. God forgives our mistakes. He forgives our sins. He forgets the mistakes and he forgets the sins, the memories and the accomplishments. He wants us to focus on the goal ahead. He doesn't want us to look back. And the crazy thing about this, in this passage, Paul was in prison. And I'm willing to bet that Paul could have looked back and thought of way better days. But yet Paul says, look ahead. He doesn't look back. He keeps on looking to what lies in the future. In the book of Hebrews, we read, "Therefore, since we are surrounded by such great clouds of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely. Let us run with perseverance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the pioneer, the perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endures the cross. Despite the shame, and seated at the right hand of the throne of God." Let's think about this. What lies ahead for us? What lies ahead for our church? Are we willing to be ready to press towards this ultimate goal? Of becoming the person in the church God intended us to be in the first place. In the book of Genesis, there's a small illustration of the danger of looking back. God had just pronounced the judgment of Sodom and Gomorrah, and they're about to be destroyed. In the meantime, God sent some messengers to a good man named Lot and his family. The message said, "Flee for your life. Do not look back or stop anywhere in this valley. Flee to the hills, lest you be consumed." Lot and his wife and his two daughters left behind their home as firestone and brimstone rained down on Sodom and Gomorrah. Then an unexpected thing happened. The writer says, "But Lot's wife behind him looked back, and she became a pillar of salt." This message is for us, not that we're going to become a container of table salt. If we look back, what the story is telling us that our journey ends when we look back. Our spiritual life becomes just as dead, as useless as a pillar of salt. Jesus told us, "No one who puts his hand on the plow looks back to fit for the kingdom of God." Brothers and sisters, I do not consider that I have made it on my own. But one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead. I press on towards the goal for the prize of the upward call in God, in Christ Jesus. We as a people must march on. We must show this world. We must show the lost, the broken, that God loves them. That the good news will set you free. In 2021, we are commissioned. God has used this last past year to prepare us. To lead us. To help us march on and proclaim his name. Let us pray. Father, Lord, I do give you thanks today, Lord. I give you thanks, Lord, for forgiving us for our sins, Lord. For helping us and carrying the burdens that we have in our lives, Father. 2020 has been the best year of our lives, Lord. But yet, you find ways to glorify your ways through 2020, Lord. We ask you, Father, that you use every single one of us, Lord. Just as you used Moses, Joshua, Paul, and every particular character in the Bible, Father. I know your plan is greater than anything we could ever imagine, Father. You have prepared us, you have laid the path, and you have given us the strength and the courage, Lord, to press on. We ask you, Father, to humble us as a nation, maybe in our personal lives, Lord. Let us be called to who you called us to be. Let us be the light in our homes, in our relationships. So others may come to see you, Lord, and call you Abba, Father. Lord, we thank you this morning, Lord. We thank you for walking us through 2020. It was you, Lord, that put this nation on their shoulders, Lord, and walked us through. And I know the struggle ain't finished yet, Lord, because your story is eternal. But we ask you, Lord, to be with us as we continue glorifying you, Lord. In Jesus' name, Lord, we pray. Amen. Amen.